This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun.
Do the show, bitch.
And let's get started.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and me, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, bow, bow. Bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump. What? Ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that. But whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Do the show, bitch.
All right, everybody. Good morning. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's try to get our heads right on a Monday. We really don't have a choice. You know, you got to get your head right. Can't sit and wallow in it. But that's what we're here for. A little distraction for you. I'm Woodsy, our executive producer, Paul P.T. Reindl. Good morning, Paulie. How are you?
What would it sound like if we didn't get our heads right?
We've had those days, for sure. People know. People know when our heads are not right. There's no question. I mean, we try to do it. And yeah, that's exactly right. You know, somebody said yesterday, after yesterday's awful loss, oh, get our heads right tomorrow. I go, yeah, life goes on. We don't stop, and we're not stopping. All right, we are here to stay, hopefully, knock on wood. My co-host is a guy by the name of Benjamin Higgins. Good morning, Benny.
Good morning, Woodsy. It was really a spectacular sports weekend.
It really was.
You know, Padre misery aside,
yeah.
We had Ryder Cup, we had NFL and college football. There was just dramatic finishes and great play all over the place. So as a sports fan, I actually had a pretty decent weekend.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, had the Padres, you know, been two games up in the wild card and lost the way they did a couple of those games, you know, gut punch losses, I'd be miserable today. But thank goodness they had already played their way out of contention before this weekend.
Yeah, it's a weird sentence
really,
to say.
Really minimizing the pain of what really could have been horrifically bad losses. So,
yeah.
Hey, look on the bright side. Think how miserable you'd be right now if the Padres had still been in it this weekend.
Just a big old gut punch. And somebody emailed the three of us over the weekend asking, hey, well, wouldn't we have been screwed anyway with the Cardinals on the run that they're on? And I'm like, yeah, but three of those wins came directly from us. So if we win those games, who knows what happens? You know, who knows what happens against the St. Louis Cardinals? But they're absolutely white hot right now. And if I'm the Cardinals, I don't want a day off. I don't want a minute off. I'm sleeping at the ballpark. The wild card race in the AL is unbelievable. So if you like baseball, you can take your Padres fandom out of it entirely because you really don't have a choice. They made that choice for you. You go watch baseball and get involved in the last week of the season, you are going to see some absolutely electric baseball.
How do you feel if you're the Dodgers right now? You
terrifying.
Just won your 100th game, and you got to be quaking in your boots a little
no
bit
doubt.
Knowing there's a team waiting for you that has won 16 games in a row,
yeah.
And you don't get even five games, best of five, to prove you're the better team. You get one shot,
one and done,
against the hottest team in all of baseball, unless you can somehow catch the Giants this week and win the division, and you're two games back with just a week to play.
Yeah, which makes it fun, this series, Padres-Dodgers, and that starts tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, so... Yeah, we do have a lot of talk, about Padres wise. But how was the weekend otherwise, Paulie? What did you guys were supposed to go to the game Friday? You didn't.
We bailed on Friday.
The weather, weather was trash, and the traffic I heard was just brutal.
Yeah, it's usually with rush hour from Escondido, it takes us 40-45 minutes, which you know we're okay with that. I checked, 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
It was an hour and 15.
Yeah, pass.
Saw some videos, you know, like Annie and AJ were taking videos of the field. But then I saw some other videos that people had retweeted of, like, borderline flooding in East Village. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm good. I know this will probably pass. I don't want to sit in a wet seat. I'm good.
Well, and if they're in it and it's a huge game against the Braves,
totally
you risk it. And you say, screw it, man. We got to go. We got to be there Friday night. We got to be there to support.
And then with the delay, the actual 7:10 scheduled start wasn't until like 8:15, 8:20. I'm in sweats, like in bed. I'm good. We had tickets to Saturday night's game anyway.
Just sucking wing sauce off your fingers in your sweats. You're like,
This is way better.
I'm not going. Like that. I'm exhausted. We had a long week. This sucks. I'm not doing it.
You did miss the last home run of Fernando Tatis Jr., his 41st of the season, to actually win a ball game on Friday night. The completion, the irony that a game suspended by rain 2 months ago in Atlanta picks up and is delayed by rain in San Diego, California, is pretty funny. Of course, that was the only game of the weekend that the Padres won. The road team actually won all four games.
The amount of weird
weekend.
Baseball that came with Friday's win, because you're like, well, technically it's July 20th or whatever.
Yeah, he technically hit his 30th home run. It was very strange.
Our buddy Chris, I went to the game on Saturday with him, and he goes, I feel like Jesse Agler must have been in heaven.
He was tweeting about all the weird idiosyncrasies.
This makes his 39th, his 41st home run, his 40th, and his 39th, whatever.
Yeah.
Jesse was all over
he
it.
He loves that stuff.
It was amazing.
Loves that stuff. Benny, how about you, man?
We had a really fun weekend. We went to a wedding on Saturday night in Encinitas. Congratulations to our friends Reed and Michelle. And it was a really fun party. And they had a spectacular band.
I
don't know if you've ever heard of these guys. They're called Flash Pants. And it was an 80s cover band. Let's just say they started with Whip It by Devo.
So rad.
That kind of gives you a sense of what kind of band they were. They all wore kind of these red gym
jumpsuits,
like with gym shorts. And they had a lot of choreography, danced around.
The video looked amazing.
The lead singer was this balding Middle Eastern dude, but he was kind of raunchy and funny and just got the whole entire party into the
That's
act.
That's awesome.
It was really fun. I mean, if you ever get a chance to see him at an event or something, I can't recommend it more highly. Made it such an enjoyable evening. And the funny part was, I was there and I didn't know a lot of people, but the parents of the groom, whose house the wedding was at in their yard, big yard in Olivenheim there, came up to me and said, oh, you're Ben Higgins, right? And I said, did you ever work with Lauren Nancaro? And I said, of course, yeah, I worked with him for several years at Channel 10. And they said, we actually bought this house from him and have lived there ever since. But, you know, his kids were really little when we bought the house, and then they moved, a few miles away. But I realized, this is your wife Hannah's childhood home that I am at this weekend. It was kind of interesting to see where Hannah grew up.
Yeah, and today is my late father-in-law's, I believe it's 68th birthday, but he passed away years ago, so today would have been, I believe, his 68th birthday. So we've got the can of his ashes out in the kitchen to say happy birthday.
Shout out to his family,
Paul. God,
that's your family,
Paul.
Did you just shout out to Woods' actual family there, David Guetta? Is Hannah loving that now? Does that just scream out loving to your family?
I am going There's... to. She's going to kill me. I didn't do that.
We hope we can see more unity and more peace.
Well, you know, Lauren did love unity and peace.
He did.
Yes.
So much.
So, shout out to his family.
I would watch your back leaving the office today if I were you.
He was a wonderful man. I'm glad I got a chance to work with him for as many years as I did. He left Channel 10, became an anchor at was the Fox station for a few years in town as well. But when he was doing the weather, just San Diego's quintessential weatherman, gardening guru, environmental expert. It was always fun to work with Lauren. And obviously, shout out to your family.
Thank you, I guess, very much for that beautiful
shout out to his family,
for that beautiful tribute. Yeah, I took his namesake to see his very
Lauren Bo Woods.
Yeah, my little guy who's almost four. I took him to his very first concert.
Oh yes, I saw some of the social mediaing of that
on Saturday night. And let me tell you, man, I'd been waiting for that moment. Because yes, you know how much I love live music and music in general. And Bo and I have been listening to music since the day he was born. And I've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting until he was, let's do finger quotes, old enough to take to a concert, right? So, old enough in my eyes.
Within 5 years of being old enough to a concert?
Now, I'm his dad, so I call the shots on that. I was like, you know what? Kiss is doing a farewell tour. Weird. Another one. I got to take him. He'll love it. So about 3 months ago, I start playing him the music, showing him the videos, and he's in. He's all in.
If I had to guess, I'd say most kids, their first concert's like Disney on Ice. Not Bo Woods.
The Wiggles or something. Right. No. Bo's first concert was Kiss. And so we take him out there, and we get there right at the beginning. I mean, we timed it out perfectly. And he was a little bit nervous. He had his, you know, his earphones on to protect his ears a little bit. And they open with Detroit Rock City. And, dude, we go to our seats, and we sit down, and his eyes are the size of saucers. I mean, he's watching. And then, like, he's a little nervous. He's kind of gripping me tight. And then after a couple
songs... Kind of like you're about to get on Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland or something. It's like, okay, what's going on here?
Once he gets into it, man, he's bobbing his head. Then he's dancing. Then the tongue comes out. And then it's just like, it's over. He's in. He's hooked. Live music is now a part of him. And I got to tell you guys, man, I was dying. I've seen Kiss so many times. And if you've ever seen Kiss, you know that their front man, Paul Stanley, one of the best of all time.
He's got to be in, what, his 60s, 70s now? Yeah, okay.
His banter between songs is the stuff of legends.
Some rock stars are good at it. Others really aren't. They
just 69.
Go, nice. Just go song to song. They, you know, a little perfunctory.
Yeah.
Hey, it's good to be here, buddy. Thanks for
coming. No. Not Paul Stanley.
Can we all agree it's the worst part of any concert?
Okay. Yes, because you just want them to keep playing. But when it's Paul Stanley...
They go on, like, these dissertations.
I've forgotten what an absolute brilliant part of the show it is. In fact, some genius, based here in San Diego, put together a YouTube video of 45 minutes of Paul Stanley between song banter. We're going to play the whole thing for you right now.
No. All right!
We'll play a little. Listen to this.
Toronto! You feel good! All right, then, listen. You know, we may be under clear blue skies, but, you know, it's getting a little cool out tonight, but that ain't going to stop us, because if we try hard enough, we're going to get this place.
Hotter than hell.
I said we're going to get this place.
Hotter than hell.
Hotter than hell.
So we get that, right? And I mean full on. So here was his rap.
All right, Chula Vista. How you doing? Now, a lot of people come up to me and they say, why are you going to play in Chula Vista when you could be playing in Los Angeles?
And the blue.
You know why? Because you people know how to rock.
And that, and bro, I'm crying laughing. Bo's
I love
just
when
sitting there.
When you can read the setup to the song.
Yes,
like,
dude.
We've been to a lot of cities, but nobody rocks harder than Detroit Rock City.
I'm telling you, and I, in my mind, I'm like, does he have to do it
for every single different city?
Different shtick, like for every city. Does he have like a pre-planned?
All right, listen.
It's.
I want to know if we got any people here tonight that I can get high. We got any people tonight that are high?
It's unbelievable.
All right, then listen.
So I just wonder,
every once
like,
in a while, we like to get a little wasted. We like to take a taste of alcohol.
Is that unbelievable? It's unbelievable.
So you got to craft it for each tour
I guess
stop.
For each.
Well, because when you're that big of a rock star, all you have to do is just literally say the city that you're in, just say the city's name, and 20,000 people lose their minds.
100%.
Like he's in Boston.
All right, Boston! I love your baked beans! Let's get it on!
Seattle.
Oh, Seattle! The best coffee in America!
New Orleans.
Oh, New Orleans! I love jazz!
Oh, my God. Minnesota.
Minnesota, it's cold tonight! Where's all my Vikings at?
Albuquerque.
Oh, I love Albuquerque! I love your Hatch chilies!
Bro. It's the greatest 45 minutes of banter.
Y'all gonna give me some half shit?
Like, Paul, you're out of material, dude. You've run completely out of material. Do you know that you just mentioned Hatch Chili?
South Dakota.
Oh, South Dakota! We're the Mount Rushmore of rock and roll!
Do it all night. I could literally do that for all 50 states and every city. He's unbelievable, man. It was so much fun to see the concert shoot through Bo's little eyes, and then on the way home, he goes, Dad, I really liked the concert. He said, I did not like the loud pops. Because when they do the fireworks, it's like, pow, 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 and it scared the crap out of him. But other than that...
Some people here that like to drink a little bit of alcohol.
He's unbelievable. It was just unbelievable.
And craft beer, San Diego!
You like IPAs? I love hops!
Amazing.
Well, did they talk about their day? Did they go to SeaWorld? Like, what did they do?
We came here to San Diego to eat tacos! You like your tacos hard? Or salt?
It's unbelievable.
All right. With that, we have a really good show for you this morning. We got some NFL football talk coming up. Bottom of the hour, Eric Adelson, our senior NFL writer, will break down an absolutely bonkers week three of the NFL season. We had 109-yard kick returns, 66-yard game-winning field goals, Sunday night drives in 37 seconds to once again lose my fade Ben bet and win it for Woods. Eric Adelson will be with us at 6:35. A reminder, your San Diego County Toyota dealers bring you your Westwood One Ben and Woods broadcast of Monday Night Football tonight. I got the Eagles and the Cowboys. We'll be right here on 97.3 The Fan, so that is coming up tonight. And I've got a... I've got a special dedication in my Daily Diddy coming up next to the Padres season... That was Padres fans and how we're all feeling here today after the home finale yesterday. So talk a little bit more about the fallout from this weekend, what A.J. Preller is going to do. Is Jace Tingler on his last six games as manager of the Padres? Get to that coming up next. I think we probably do know at this point.
Let's go to break!
It's Ben and Woods and Paul Stanley right here.
It's hot! It's hotter than hell!
On 97.3 The Fan, let's get a check of traffic this morning. Here's Vicky Pepper.
Hi, Vicky Pepper!
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. Really want to lean into my just funk. This is what I listen to.
Kansas.
Dust in the Wind.
Just this song.
Just this song. Padres season. Just blown away again. It's all the same. Nothing matters. Go through it all over again. And here we are, heading into October, and they're not in the playoffs. And it's like, what was all this for? We were so excited months ago.
Yeah.
How could we be left with nothing here? Just all of it blown away. Thanks a lot, Padres/Kansas, this morning with our Daily Diddy.
Good morning, Kansas!
You like corn?
You like wheat? Because I love wheat.
It's it really is impossible to fathom how we got from there to here. I still don't really, I mean, we've lived it every single day. No one talks more Padres baseball than we do.
No, it's not close.
And I still haven't totally been able to explain it. Obviously, there are clearly factors, and one of them, and I hate to even bring it up almost because I don't want it to sound like excuse making. But injuries are certainly part of it. Now, all teams deal with injuries. But we're going to have one of my buddies, Will Carroll, is coming on the show. He wrote a piece about the Padres and their injuries this season under the knife. He's probably the foremost injury expert in sports in America, non-doctor, just in terms of impact on teams. In fact, his Twitter handle is @InjuryExpert. And he wrote about the Padres' injuries, and I was almost dumbfounded. I knew that they had, you know, obviously suffered a bunch of injuries, especially to their pitching staff. But when he kind of laid it out there, it did make me realize, okay, the Padres, it isn't just me. They were pretty dang unlucky when it came to the injuries this year. Now, some of that also seems to be a trend with the Padres organization. And is that a failing of A.J. Preller to not better identify durable players that he can count on deeper into a season? I felt like, you know, Yu Darvish, Joe Musgrove, you know, these guys were brought in for that purpose. Yeah. Now, those guys, for the most part, made it through the season, as did Blake Snell. But even Blake Snell, Chris Paddock at the end, all kind of petered out and ended the season. Blake Snell may pitch again, but Chris Paddock is now, Jay Stengler announced yesterday, he's shut down for the rest of the year, will not pitch again. It's incredible how many, you know, man hours, essentially, games the Padres have lost to injury this season.
Sure, yeah, it's absolutely a thing. And you know, the other thing, though, Benny, is, and I can't remember if it was this article or another, I mean, look, the Padres are a really hot topic nationally now. People are picking apart the organization on podcasts and things like that, but this is interesting to me that they were counting on, at the beginning of the season, guys like Adrian Morejon, guys like Michelle Baez, frankly, guys like Chris Paddock, okay? That is an organizational failure in that you were counting on those guys,
but
instead of being deep.
You were counting on them to be your depth at the beginning of the season. You were counting on, you know, 30 starts from Adrian Morejon. You were counting on him to fill in during the 5 to 10 starts, maybe you knew that you would lose from your normal starters,
conversely,
right?
Conversely, you were also counting on Dinelson Lamet. You weren't counting on Clevinger. He was not going to come back this year. But Dinelson Lamet was, you risked it. You did. You risked it and you thought that you were okay. Or maybe there was just not a deal to be made. We don't know the ins and outs of, well, we could have loaded up with two or three more guys, but A, we didn't feel like we needed to. Okay, because like you just mentioned, Morejon, Baez, those guys were out pretty quickly. They were out pretty quickly.
They were. True. True.
It's not
in spring training, it felt like you had 9 starting options.
And then about 3 weeks later, it felt like you had 5.
Yeah.
You know, and then maybe that was the. And I think the other thing that your buddy Will is going to talk about is where's the depth in the farm? Where's the depth that can come up and help you then? Some of those guys, the names we just mentioned, were going to be that. They're gone. And once one guy gets hurt, the next guy gets hurt, and it is just a huge.
And while
domino.
They did trade, obviously, some of that depth away to acquire frontline players,
yeah,
they didn't necessarily trade a bunch of guys who they could have relied on this year in particular. Cal Quantrill is one for sure, but beyond that, a lot of the guys are prospects who were maybe just breaking through at the end of
the season.
To the big league level. Yeah, Luis Patino, you know, perhaps as well was. Not counted on as a full-time starter for the Tampa Bay Rays.
For him, so.
But yeah, you certainly spent that. Is that one of the reasons why we're seeing a shuffling up of the scouting department as well? Is that depth, you know, not coming through the way that the Padres wanted it to from the minor league levels? And maybe that is part of some of the changes that we're seeing, because most people are saying, why are you changing the scouting department? It's not a failure of identifying and drafting good players. You've done pretty well on that. It's developing them and turning them into successful big leaguers that you're struggling at. Well, you know, perhaps there is more of an issue than maybe we recognize, because that depth wasn't there for the Padres. You know, even in the mid-levels of the organization, you should be able to pluck two or three starters. You know, you needed a couple of more Reese Kinnears of the world to help you get through this season, and the Padres really didn't have it. That's why they had to go to Vince Velasquez, Jake Arrieta,
Detweiler.
You know, players that really had no business still being on major league rosters at the end of this season. So we will continue to discuss the fallout of this Padres season as we go forward and the changes that seem destined to be coming to the organization. Maybe, I mean, are you expecting anything today or at this point? Probably not until next Monday, kind of Black Monday at the end of the baseball season.
I honestly thought last week was going to be, there was the off day after that series, and I thought, man, I'd be really surprised if a lot of guys make it through today. They have. Certainly not based on the inspiring play that we've seen, but I really don't know, Ben. I really don't know. This organization feels a bit in flux right now. There's a lot of moving parts. In fact, we could not get a management guest on Friday because there's so many moving parts. Again, they're not dodging us.
What about Trace Jingler?
Trace Jingler came on. He did. He slayed. But yeah, I just... It's
scooping.
It's in flux. It's in flux right now, and I don't think we've seen the last of it.
All right, we haven't talked the last of it, but we're going to turn our attention to the weekend that was in the NFL. Crazy week three action yesterday. The West continues to mostly dominate AFC and NFC. Our senior NFL writer, Eric Adelson, is going to join us. That's coming up. First, a reminder, though, we're getting closer and closer. Get ready for the Ben and Woods Open. It is coming Friday, November 5th at Encinitas Ranch. The Ben and Woods Open is presented by Top Turf and Pavers, women owned and operated. Entrust your family with ours. And by Computers to Kids, the national leader in bridging the digital divide. And I'm fired up for golf after watching some Ryder Cup this weekend
Me and you both. I cannot wait to get out to the range. I wanted to let everybody know I might have screwed up and said that signups were today. They're not today. They're going to be mid-October. So just...
But today is an important day because we're one day closer to
Correct.
Those signups.
We are one Good. Day closer to
Very
the signups.
Very smart. I love how you thought that through.
So, yes.
Eric Adelson, coming up next, our senior NFL writer with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour of Ben Woods is brought to you by Smart Investing. Tune in Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 to 97.3 The Fan to listen to the Smart Investing Show. Brent Wilsey, the host, has over 40 years' experience in finance, recently picked as one of California's top investment advisors by Forbes magazine. Smart Investing, Saturdays, 8 a.m. on 97.3 The Fan. It was a nuts, I tell you, week three Sunday of the NFL season, and our senior writer Eric Adelson standing by to help break it down for us right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Hut, hi!
It's time for the NFL Insider Report with Eric Adelson.
Some goofball in a hat.
Let's go around the league and wrap up the NFL weekend.
Are you ready for some football?
It's the NFL Insider Report, brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun.
Woods, we've essentially been talking to Eric regularly since we started together as a show three and a half, almost 4 years ago.
It's crazy.
And he's always been one of our absolute favorites. And as we bring him on, you know this, and probably many of our listeners do, but Eric has a passion project, and this week is National Diaper Need Awareness Week. So I wanted Eric to give you a little platform for our listeners in San Diego just to remind him of how important this week is, and really the rest of the year as well. And good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. Thank you so much for mentioning that. I really appreciate it.
Well, yeah, tell everybody that doesn't know what exactly it is that you do. I think it's such a great, as a father of two who spends his life changing diapers, and my wife ordering Amazon, just diapers everywhere, diapers. I'm covered with diapers. Many people aren't so lucky, Eric.
Yeah, one in three American families actually can't afford to provide diapers for their babies. And so what I want to do is raise awareness. And then any of your listeners that are interested, I will tweet right after the show, the closest diaper bank. But these are really everyday heroes. usually moms that are working out of their garages, just to gather diapers and give them to those in need. You can't send your child to daycare without providing your own diapers.
Yep.
A lot of families can't go to work because they can't put their kids into daycare. They can't go to job interviews. And so there's a lot of need out there. And a lot of families are having to choose between whether to buy food and whether to buy diapers. And that's not something that I think any American family, a choice that they should have to make. And so one of the things I really like about this is that if you donate a sleeve of diapers, let's say you potty trained your kids and you're out of diapers, donate to the diaper bank because that can get a family through a week. Every diaper does make a difference.
You're doing good work there, really, Eric. Really work, appreciate man. It. All right, on to the football. And I realize we're not even a quarter of the way through the season, and a lot of things are going to change. But just a brief look at the standings tells you that everything's kind of leaning west this year. And I say that by looking at the last place teams in the AFC and NFC West. The Chiefs and the Seahawks. We know those are pretty good teams, yet they're in last place. Just shows you how good some of these teams, from the Rams to the Broncos to the Raiders to the Cardinals to even the Chargers, have been through the first 3 weeks of the season.
Even the Chargers.
Even the Chargers.
1 week after I gave up on them completely. I think one of the sneaky important stories of the season has been the Chiefs. The Chiefs just don't look like the Chiefs. They're still very good on offense. They always will be. But there's other teams that just seem to be more explosive than them when it counts the most, including a team like the Rams, including yesterday, at least yesterday's case, the Chargers. You have to have a great offense, but you also have to have a really good pass defense. And the Chiefs don't seem to have it this year, even with Matthew back. And the Bucks, I mean, the Bucks just don't have a strong secondary. And so if you can have a decent secondary and an explosive offense, that might be your ticket, but I am concerned about the Chiefs. And the Seahawks, despite Russell Wilson, they're just not an explosive team. You just have to be able to put a ton of points on the board. And Chris Carson is a good running back, but they just don't have the power on both sides of the ball that they used to have.
I mean, the LA Rams have really become a pretty fun team to watch. You see a guy, Matthew Stafford, and you look at him, you're like, hey, is he really that good? Well, you put him in the right system, and oh my God, he looks like Joe Montana.
Yeah, bless you, Woods.
Thank you.
It's been remarkable. I still think, you know, as someone who's watched Stafford his whole career and has been very impressed by him, I still think they have to run the ball effectively and control the clock effectively. And the jury's still out on that. But in terms of his connection with Cooper Kupp, with Woods, DeSean Jackson now looks 10 years younger. Van Jefferson is a second-year player. They've got options now. It's not just Stafford. Stafford has an array of receivers. Higbee is a tight end. So I still want to see a good running game out of them because I've seen Stafford with good targets, and it's good, but it's not really playoff worthy. But for right now, I mean, they're as good as any team in the league.
I tweeted last night, tongue-in-cheek, I'd be more of an NFL fan if some of the games had dramatic endings. Really, some spectacular ones yesterday. I'll bring up the one in Detroit between the Ravens and the Lions. Obviously, the 66-yard NFL record-setting field goal by Justin Tucker is the headline, but you know, they had to convert a 4th-and-19 to get there. There was some officiating controversy that the Ravens may have committed a delay of game penalty that wasn't called. Obviously wouldn't have made it from 71, Eric. And, I mean, that was as crazy of a finish as you're going to get.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned that conversion, because one of the keys for Lamar Jackson is he one of those quarterbacks where if there's time left on the clock, he's going to put a dagger in you. And I think that that's starting to happen now. It's not to the level of Brady or Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees when he was playing. But now there's this sort of a sense the last couple weeks that you can't allow him to have the ball at the end of the game. And that's new. Now, just like Stafford, he's got to prove it in the playoffs. And he hasn't done it yet. And there's different alignments and different types of defenses that he has to be able to counter. But in terms of the fourth quarter sort of cardiac comeback ability, that's new for Lamar Jackson, and he did it yesterday.
We are talking to our pal Eric Adelson, senior NFL writer here on Ben and Woods this morning. I was thinking about it yesterday, Eric, as I was watching the NFL, but also had some baseball on. You know, we're obviously a big baseball-heavy show, and I wanted to talk for a second about patience, right? Patience with a starting quarterback. And you saw Jimmy G last night lead his team down the field after really a couple of bonehead plays where you look and you're like, dude, you've been in the league too long to do some of the things that you
do. I saw people declaring the Trey Lance era already underway.
Yes, I saw that too. And then Jimmy G leads him down. Well, what did you do? You left 35 seconds for Aaron Rodgers, who's going to get you every time. But I wonder, you know, we often talk about it with, like, starting pitchers and baseball, like, is there a patience problem in the NFL? You know, Sam Darnold is now 3-0, and I know he's got better help around him. He's got better coaching than he did in New York. But is there a patience problem in the NFL as it regards to in regards to starting quarterbacks?
I think there's a patience problem in society. I think that it's way beyond football, but certainly I think so. And honestly, I think it might hurt both sides in the sense that everyone wants Justin Fields in the game. They're counting the seconds until he gets in there. Then he gets in there. He gets sacked nine times. Now what do you do? I mean, Andy Dalton is not the long-term answer, but he's somebody that can manage a game. And now you're in a bit of a spot. And it's the same thing if you sit Jimmy G and you put in Trey Lance, and he just might not be ready for any variety of reasons, then you go back. Then what does that say to your right. player? So yes, I think that there is, and I think that it's going to be. And I mean, the Jets are no better now, maybe worse now that they've jettisoned Sam Darnold for Zach Wilson. So honestly, Stafford looks awesome, and that looks like a really good decision. But you know what? Jared Goff won them a playoff game last year, so that's still a bar that Stafford has to clear.
Right.
So yes, the answer to your question is yes, and we have to see if that bites a lot of teams in a 17-game season. I think it will.
Eric, we'll probably be really tired of talking about it by the end of this week, but since it's only Monday right now, we can get a jump. The story that everyone will be talking about: Tom Brady's return to New England. Next week, Bucks, Patriots. Obviously, the Bucks coming off a loss, and the Patriots looking pretty lackluster themselves. Ends up being a pretty big game for both teams this coming week.
Is this a debate anymore? I don't know. I think that Brady was the engine.
Yeah.
Not to say Bill Belichick didn't do anything. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame coach. But when Brady left, it was like, okay, well, who's going to survive? Who's going to thrive now that they're apart? There's not even an answer. Not even a question. Right now, and Brady's going to go in there. I'll be surprised if he doesn't win that game. But even if he doesn't win that game, the Patriots are just another team, and the Bucks are a Super Bowl champion and a Super Bowl contender again. And so this is going to be a big story, and it's going to be emotional, and it's going to be media hype. But it's not going to be the media hype that everyone expected when this started to happen, because Brady's won this argument.
Eric, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next Monday and see how that game ended up turning out. But good analysis, and we appreciate it. And again, National Diaper Need Awareness Week. Look for a local diaper bank. Look for Eric Adelson on Twitter. He will tweet out local diaper banks if you have some extras and can donate and help out a family in need. Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, tweet that link. We'll retweet.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
I will. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, guys.
Eric Adelson with us on a Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads.
Hey, talking to Eric Adelson always makes me realize that we don't do enough for people in need. He has, like, his own thing.
I know. Good guy.
He doesn't even
He's
have
a really
a,
good guy.
A radio platform.
No, he doesn't have the platform that we do. And he does that.
What would
we
our,
help him a little bit, which is
our,
nice
yeah,
of us.
Yeah, it's nice of us, but what would our thing be?
I don't know. Sometimes it's hard to
sandwiches.
Find the right thing.
You sandwich, like sandwiches
I love
out
sandwiches out there.
Yeah.
I think you like sandwiches out there?
Sandwich, National Sandwich Awareness Week?
Or, like, just local.
Are we helping sandwiches? Are we eating sandwiches? I could do that.
For every one we eat, we give two away.
To you and Paul. I'll eat one, give one away
to
you and Paul.
No, people that need them.
Need sandwiches.
Yes. The homeless.
Everyone would want like sandwiches.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we need to do more. Just remember, keep that in the back of your mind.
Odyssey is introducing hundreds of new exclusive music stations available now only on Odyssey for music fans, by music fans. Download the free Odyssey app today. College football this weekend. You're Fighting Irish. Probably the biggest win of the weekend in Chicago, beating 18th-ranked Wisconsin. It was actually a much closer game than the final score.
Was it?
indicated. 41-13. Well, it was a lot closer than 41-13. I'll tell you that. It was still a game in the fourth quarter. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Any other college football notes for you from
Arkansas.
The weekend?
Oh, my Lord.
Arkansas over Texas A&M?
Well, in Arkansas, just getting Clemson out of the top 25.
Well, they're 25th. They're out of the top 10 and almost out of the top 25.
That is bananas.
It's crazy because the Aztecs, after beating Towson, are just outside of the top 25. Clemson is just inside of the top 25. So, essentially, the experts are saying that Clemson
and
San Diego State are about at the same level right now in college football.
You know, the interesting...
Color me a little skeptical on that one still.
The interesting thing is about the Aztecs is how great they have been, Benny, in the second half. I mean, that's a second-half football team right now.
Third quarter, they put finally. I mean, this was an FCS opponent. They never should have even been 21-14 at the half.
It shouldn't have been that close. But again, this is they've been having really, really good third quarter, second halves. Now, you'd love them to start a little bit hotter, but man, they kind of once they get lubed up.
Now, given their offense and the way they pounded on the ground, that's what running teams tend to do. You
got
to wear down the opponent. Now, they did lose their number one running back, Greg Bell, very early in that game. He got just 4 yards, but they also have incredible depth. They had three other running backs who all rushed for over 75 yards in that win, and now they've got a bye week, which means if Clemson loses again, they'll probably pass Clemson in the rankings and maybe even get into the top 25 before they open Mountain West play in over a week against New Mexico. Top teams all rolled: Alabama, Georgia, Oregon. Easy wins. Michigan State both stay unbeaten with close Big Ten wins. But, you know, it was definitely more of an NFL, I think. The excitement leaned towards Sunday over Saturday in football this weekend.
Yeah, it's a weird time in college football. I was not really super bummed to miss a lot of that on Saturday, Benny. I was more bummed to miss the Ryder Cup, which we have not really brought up today yet, which is insane as much as we love golf and as phenomenal as that was. But yeah, you know, I looked at the schedule on Saturday and went, I mean, the Irish...
It wasn't a great early season weekend. I'm just tired, you know, if Alabama is so good, stop scheduling Southern Miss.
Yeah.
I know everyone wants a cupcake or two, but it really does nothing for me. It's just it's a complete throwaway game when you're going to win it by 50, 60 points. There's just no point in playing that one, it feels like.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was very pleased to see Notre Dame getting points in a neutral site like Chicago, and took those points, 6.5 points, and what a laugher it was. So I'm very pleased. How did USC do this week? Because I missed that. I was busy.
UCLA won. USC lost again.
That's weird. Yeah, I thought when you...
They're terrible.
Oh, all right.
They're now below San Diego State in the rankings.
Cool.
Oregon State.
Great to see.
That's the one packed 12 free spot on the bingo board.
The bingo board. Yes.
On the bingo board. Can't get that one. You know it's going to be a long season in the Pac-12. So
plenty of time to figure it out.
Yeah. We've got plenty of time. We got 2 more hours, so we will definitely get to some Ryder Cup talk.
Oh, my God.
We will get back to the Padres and the moves that they could be making and some interesting comments from a podcast that our friend Eno Saris was on.
Very interesting.
Over the weekend that was making the rounds as well that we want to discuss about how much authority Jay Stengel actually had in his own clubhouse this season. And we'll play a little Take on Woods coming up next. Add a new category to the mix.
Nice.
And we still are looking for some qualifiers for our getaway to Las Vegas. 2 nights, $150 food and beverage. If you want to call in now, we will play next. 833-288-0973. Kick it off the 7 a.m. hour with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.